What's up, everybody? Y'all know this Blog Talk Radio switchboard is acting a fool. Oh, wow, but we're going to keep it rolling tonight. I definitely got to say that I am truly just in one of those moods today where I do not want to be messed with, and Blog Talk Radio is messing with me. Come on already. Why the switchboard got to act up on my show? What's really going on tonight? But for all my listeners that are that have been awaiting for me to get on the air, just wanted to share with you that tonight we have a very touchy topic. And PB, if you are calling in, please continue to try. I know the switchboard has been acting up, and definitely continue to call, because at this moment I certainly cannot see you on the switchboard. So keep trying to call back in, okay? But certainly tonight's topic is very touchy. And it's on, do you believe that it's more blacks in prison than any other race? Okay? And I chose this subject because of the simple fact I was looking at the movie Prison Song this weekend, and it had Mary J. Blige in it. It had Q-Tip in it and several other popular actors and actresses, and it was a very good movie, but yet it was sad. And the way that it ended, it just really had me thinking. And so that's where I said, you know what, I really want to do a show where I reach out and just kind of talk about it a bit, you know, talk about this epidemic that we're in. And it's unfortunate that we are going through this. I want to read to you some of the statistics, okay, before I get into this topic. Now, this was a census that was taken in 2006, okay, and I'm sure it hasn't gotten any better, unfortunately, but it's just really sad. These are some of the findings, okay, and it says that men made up about 90% of prison and jail inmates in 2006, all right, which was down from 94 in 1980, okay? About 9% of prison inmates were immigrants last year, up from about 4% in 1980, okay? Immigrants made up about 13% of the total population in 2006. Non-whites made up about 73% of the 2.3 million people living in college housing in 2006. Blacks made up about 12%. Asian, 7%. Hispanic, 6%. And I took this from an article, and it talks about why is it that there are three times as many blacks that live in prison cells rather than college dorms. That's disturbing to me. That's very disturbing to me. And so we're certainly going to speak on that. PB, my switchboard is up and running, finally. Goodness. So I can finally see if you're on the air or not. I do apologize. Oh, let me shout out my listeners in the chat room. I got to say what's up to each and every one of you that has joined us. I do apologize for these technical difficulties Blog Talk Radio is experiencing. I think because we're growing so fast and that, you know, the network is just truly just overloaded, over 8 million listeners worldwide, and I don't think they were truly prepared for the amount of growth the company is experiencing. This is why we're going through some of these things at this time, okay? But I definitely just got to say that I am going to wait for my co-host to join me, and so we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to actually play one of my favorite songs. I love Alicia Keys. And it's I Need You. Okay, hopefully if my switchboard, I'm sitting here, I'm looking. And now, okay, I guess I'm not going to be playing anything. Wow, what is going on, Blog Talk? Okay. Well, it looks like it was going to work for me. But anyway, I just got to say what's up to all the listeners in the chat room. Thank you for joining us and continue to spread the word about Brown Sugar Radio And this is just a very touching topic, and I wanted to actually take a break, but it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do that either. So I don't know if they're doing some maintenance on the website or what's going on here, but we're just going to make it do what it do. Now, as I stated earlier, it's more than three times as many black kids that live in prison cells rather than college dorms. The ratio is only slightly better for Hispanics at 2.7 inmates for every Latino in college housing among non-white, or more than twice as many live in college housing as in a prison jail cell. Now, granted, we're the minority anyway, okay, but this just certainly doesn't help when you're going through things, you know, that are unfortunate, such as this. Okay. All right. And so, I am going to, we're going to take a quick break here. Okay. And then, we will certainly be right back. Okay, we are back and we are in action, and PB is here, and so we're trying to make this work here tonight on Blog Talk Radio. So, PB, what do you think about our topic tonight? You said you heard a little bit about what I was talking about in regards to black men. And blacks, it's more blacks in jail than in college.
You know, to me, I think it's a very unfortunate, thing that's going on. But, you know, once again, I think that, I don't necessarily think it has nothing to do with racism.
Okay.
I think it has more so to do with the life that you choose to live.
Right.
The life you choose to live, you know, because we already know the rules. I mean, let's be honest. If we're going to talk about this, we're going to go ahead and do it the right way.
Right, right.
Basically, more African-Americans are in jail because we have problems. Well, I'm not going to say we have problems, but we have a lot of African-Americans that choke, that choose to make the fast money, that choke, that choose to live the fast life. That is the life of, you
right.
know, selling drugs or whatnot.
Yeah, right, right.
And so, you know, I do think it's very messed up that how they give you more time. They give drug dealers more time than they give murderers and rapists and stuff like that. I think that's very crazy.
Right.
But, you know, to me, I mean, I can't necessarily say it's the system. I mean, the system is, let's just be honest, I mean, no offense to the white listeners, the Caucasians, no offense to any other nationality out there that's listening. I'm an African-American male, and I just want to say that the system is basically set up for you to fail. If you're black, it's set up to hold you down.
Okay.
You know, and I can say this because me, myself, I'm a college graduate. I recently just graduated college, and, you know, in the city I'm in, I got a college degree, and I still can't find a job that's related to my field. So, you know, hey, what else is there for me to do? You know, I got to pay my bills. I mean, I still don't sell drugs, but I'm just saying, you know, other people don't, everybody's not as strong-minded as the next person. So, you know, everybody just can't, like me, you know, even though my major, I can't find a job related to my major, I'm finding work elsewhere. I'm going to a totally different field that has nothing to do with my major, and I'm doing work in that field. But, you know, most people don't look at it that way. You know, most people, they want to live their fast life. They need money right here and right now, you know.
Exactly.
And so, then, of course, let's just be honest. If you go to a job interview, let's say, for instance, I go to a job interview, I got a degree. Let's say a white guy goes to the job interview, he got a degree. Who do you think they're going to pick first?
Right, exactly. Let's just keeping it real, yeah. And it's, I think, to a lot of African-Americans, we have a lower class group. So we experience poverty more than, you know, the white race. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they don't experience it, but I just think that our race, we experience it more, which may cause us to do things that, you know, in some instances, a lot of them feel they were forced to do, you know, rather than sell drugs.
Right.
Or rob a bank, or, you know what I mean, whatever, you know, they feel as if, and then I think that has a lot to do with what you just said, was how they were set up to fail, you know what I mean, or I don't necessarily want to say set up to fail, but I don't know the words I'm looking for at this time, you know, but it's unfortunate, you know, and the best thing,
I don't want to say fail. I'm like you.
Right.
I don't want to necessarily say fail.
Right.
But I'm going to say it's kind of like, I'm not going to say it's set up to hold us back, but I think it's definitely set up to not get us ahead. They don't want us to have, like, Obama. They don't want Obama in office. They do not want, they don't even want the thought to come up for black people think they can. They don't want that thought to come up in black people here for them to think they can actually come in and run the country, tell other people, white people, or anybody else, you know, they don't want us telling nobody else what to do, you know. They don't even want that thought to come across your head. Are we still here? No.
Right. Hello, PB?
You here?
Okay. Yep, I'm here. Okay. And one thing, actually, let me continue reading the report and the information that I got. Now, it's saying the numbers driven by men do not include college students who live off campus. Previously released census data show that black and Hispanic college students, commuters, are those that are in dorms. They didn't count the ones that were off campus, all right, which to me that's not fair. If you're not going to do, if you're going to do a census, then you need to get all the numbers, you know what I'm saying, instead of just who lives on campus. One thing I can honestly say that I found amazing was when Bill Cosby, you know, he stood up. And with this high incarceration rate, you know, it has drawn high black profiles, you know, such as Bill Cosby. And then Mark Morrow, who is the president and CEO of the Urban League, to point, you know, the finger back at the black community. You know, they're like, what are we doing as African Americans in order to build stronger values in our families and in our education system? You know, and Bill Cosby was pretty much straight up with it, saying, hey, you know, it's a shame when your son's got on a $100 pair of sneakers but don't know how to read and write. You know, we're the best dressed in our race, you know. Just make sure you clean from head to toe, but then you don't know how to read and write. Something's wrong with that.
Right.
You know, and we do, you know, really need to make sure that we start when our kids are young. And that's one thing. Now, if the child's not trying to make something out of themselves, you know, and just they don't have no ambition to move forward in life, that's one thing. But when they're trying and they're still failing, that's a whole nother issue. And I know that I struggled with my children throughout school. My daughter, come to find out, she has a learning disability. And my son struggled with a few classes. Overall, I mean, he did fairly well, but, you know, naturally math is a killer for most of us. And he kind of struggled in that area, but I got him the help that he needed, you know. And even though he didn't get an A, you know what I'm saying, in the class, I was still proud of him for his effort because he stayed after school with the teachers, you know. He worked with the principal. I got a tutor for him. So I gave him the tools necessary in order to be successful. And I just feel that us as parents need to make sure that if you don't know how to do it, you know, me personally, I hated math in school when I was growing up, and I know I'm not the best one to teach him that. But if I can't do it, then I'm going to find the tools necessary in order to get him some help. And so that's what I did. And another thing, my friend, which I think this is an excellent idea, I think I'm going to do it. If my kids ever get into that rooty-poot attitude, like they don't want to do nothing with their life or with school or whatever, they feel like giving up, she took her son a couple of years ago. He was struggling in school, and he probably was a sophomore in high school. And what she did was she took him to a homeless shelter, and she showed him all of the homeless people. She showed him the bums on the street, and she said, look, this is the reality, you know, that you can be faced with if you do not take school serious and you don't want to do anything with your life, you know. And so that was a rude awakening for him. And she said after she did that, you know, his grades improved tremendously because he realized it all starts from when you're in elementary school, middle school, high school. Why would someone want to proceed to college when they didn't, when they struggled all their life in you know, elementary and middle school?
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Was Bill Cosby right, you know, when he blamed blacks, you know, for having high school dropouts and high, skyrocketing high teenage pregnancy rates? I mean, it's crazy.
I would definitely say, to me, there's no right or wrong answer, but I would say he has a valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, once again, you know, you have to make choices for yourself. And see, me, myself, personally, I know me, I come from a family. I have a brother and a sister on my mother's side. My father was not involved at all with my upbringing or anything, so I'm not going to speak on his head, but I hear that I have a lot of brothers and sisters on his side. But for the ones that I do know, I have a brother and a sister on my mother's side, which I was raised single parent. And, you know, I basically see, and we never wanted for anything. You know, my mom worked. She worked more than one job, you know, and I basically just looked at the struggle. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a struggle because she never once complained. She never fussed about anything. You know, she just got out and did what she had to do to make sure we had clothes. And like I'm saying, when I say we had clothes,
right,
I don't mean we just had, like, clothes. I'm talking about, like, she kept us in name, brand, you know, the latest fashion. You know, she went out to do more than what she really had to do. And,
right.
You know, to me, I just looked at life from there. And to me, I don't ever want to I always say I don't want kids, but, you know, that's for, I'm speaking for right now. You know, when I get older, I might want kids. But me, myself, personally,
right,
I made the decision to go to school because, you know, I looked at the struggle. Well, not the struggle, but I looked at what she did and the things that she went through to provide. And, you know, me, I never wanted to go through that struggle financially. I wanted to be financially stable. So that was my whole decision. And that's how I came about making the decision to go to college because, you know, they say more money, more problems. So, I mean,
okay.
I want to struggle financially. I can
have
health problems. I mean, God forbid, but I can have health problems. I can have relationship problems.
But
I just don't want to struggle financially.
Right.
That's one
right.
thing. I don't want to worry about where I'm going to lay my head at night. I don't want to have to worry about how I'm going to pay this bill. You know, I want to be financially stable.
Right, right. And that's, you know, I can understand that because that's being wise. You know, why bring a child into the world when you're still trying to get yourself together, you know? And I believe, I wish a lot more people, if they felt that way, you know what I'm saying, then they would truly realize that, you know, hey, I would, go ahead.
I was going to say something else that kind of gets to me is I hate when I see the fact when people have this discussion right here. This is very, I'm not going to say it's touchy, but it gets very heated with me because I hate when people always say that they try to blame that since the child didn't have a, since the male or the boy didn't have a father.
A father,
figure.
Yeah.
It's, I hate that.
That's not
I
true.
I hate that because
yeah.
that's not true at all.
Exactly. It's a lot of single parent families and single parent mothers or fathers, we may be, and their children have been very successful. You know, look at Alicia Keys. Her mother was a single parent. Halle Berry, her mother was a single parent. I believe even Mariah Carey, her mother was a single parent. And, I mean, now they're multimillionaires. You know what I'm saying? Usher, was it Usher's mother, I think, also? Bow Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah, they wasn't no daddies in the picture. Go ahead.
It's a good thing to have a father in your life, you know, to help bring them up. But they try to say that a woman can't teach a man how to be a man. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because you
okay.
know what? I mean, in a way it's true, but then in a way it's not true because only a person, like I'm saying, you know what? Only you can teach yourself how to be what you want to be.
Right.
Nobody else can't teach you. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You can
exactly.
give him the tools that he needs to become a successful man. You can give him the tools. But you can never make, if a man, that's just like me right now, if I had a father figure, my father could not make me into a man. He can't do that. Only I can make that choice. I got to make
right.
that, I got to become mature. I got to get that mind state in my head that, okay, I got to get my stuff together. I got to get on the right path. A man, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister can't nobody. They can help you. They can
right.
encourage you, but they cannot make you into
that's
something.
Right. That's real.
You got to make sense for yourself.
Right.
So I hate when other people say that. Don't blame
uh-huh.
me. We make excuses. We
yeah,
make that's... excuses and fess up to reality. It's time to wake up. It's 2008. Stop it. Stop the madness.
Right. That's right. And you know what? You're absolutely right about that. I'm a single mother with three children. My oldest is a son. He'll be 13 this year, and we're very close. We have an open relationship, and I teach him. I say, you know what, son? It's nothing that you will go through in life that you can't come to me about. You know, we have an open relationship. I don't want my kids to be afraid to come to me about sex or about drugs or abuse, you know what I mean, gangs, anything, whatever he's facing in life, you know, peer pressure, following the wrong crowd, whatever. Come and talk to me about it. I let them know that I have an open door policy. You know, don't ever feel uncomfortable to where you feel like you can't talk to me, you know. And so... and that's what we do, and so I don't really believe that, I don't want to say a father is not necessary, that's not the words I'm looking for. I do believe a father is necessary. However, if you don't have one, you have to make do with what you have, and my saying is, if life gives you lemon, make lemonade, you know what I mean? And so you can't just sit around moping, oh, I don't have a father figure for my child, and he ain't going to turn out right. Well, yeah, if you keep thinking like that, you're right, he ain't going to turn out to be nothing. You know, we have to believe in our kids, and I have this book I want to recommend to all my readers. I've actually been reading it. It's a phenomenal book, and it's been helping me a lot. And even though I'm a mother of three kids, I'm always looking to improve and to grow and just to learn more, period, about ways that I can help my children. And it's called The Power of Believing in Your Child by Miles McPherson, and it's spelled Miles, M-I-L-E-S, Mick is capital M-C and capital P-H-E-R-S-O-N, all right? And so The Power of Believing in Your Child, and it speaks about unleashing your power as a parent to help your kids be all they can be. And there's a lot of different segments and chapters in here talking about everything from teaching them to dream and dream big. And it talks about, you know, challenge on young people, you know, and the peer pressures in life that they go through, spirituality, you know, believing in God when others don't, everything. The one thing that I like the most, though, it talks about faith and being bold and not being afraid to stand up for what's right. And I think, PB, one point you made earlier is how you were stating the environment, you know, how they grow up and whatever it is that they're going through at that time or what's in their environment, or that has a big factor too. You know what I'm saying? If they wind up, like, the choices that they make, and you know what I'm saying? If they're, like, for instance, if it was with drugs or whatever, you know, and if you're around that atmosphere, some people may feel like, well, this is the best in life that I'm going to get.
And see, that's why, you know, as parents, you know, you have to try to show your kids new walks of life. You know, you have to, like, I'm saying, people don't think, like, you know, some people just be like, you know, every time, I think if people take more time out their schedule to spend more time, nowadays we got more people just pushing their kids off to the computer, pushing their kids off to the TV. I think people need to sit down and talk to their kids, like, on spring break, you know, when they get these Christmas breaks, you know, on these holidays they have out of school, you should take your kids to, like, you know, if you just take them to another city, if you take them to another state, a neighbor state, you know, take them somewhere, show them other walks of life, show them other things, and show them that they don't always have to stay in that same place, because by all means, you know, I'm on hood now, I probably don't sound anything hood to none of y'all, because I don't look at myself as hood. But I live in a city called Pine Bluff. They didn't change it so much. The death rate is so high here. Somebody always getting shot. Somebody always dead. They didn't change the night. I mean, well, it's still Pine Bluff, but people call it Crime Bluff.
Right.
Like I'm saying, you know, I don't let my community affect me. You know, yeah, it's always something crazy going on. It's always bananas. But see, since I already know what's going on out there, I'm not out there in the streets in there. You know,
right.
I'm trying to do something with myself to get myself in a better situation where I can get away from you, you know. But people be like, well, what about your community? What about the hood? But see, like, what you got to understand is you got to get yourself together before you can try to come back and fix something else. And see, but with the whole thing about the jail, it's a lot of African-Americans in there. It's going to continue. The number is going to continue to grow.
Right.
Because to me, it is dumb because we don't have sense. We need to wake up and we need to realize that these people are not playing.
Right, exactly.
And they tell you don't sell drugs, you know. I mean, come on, it's not going to hurt you to get a real job. We used to that fast money, you don't want to work. It's It's nothing wrong with McDonald's. If you work at McDonald's, you'd be the best hamburger flipper you can flip.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's real. That's real. I have a comment here I want to read from Malik Russell, and I think this is a very powerful statement that he wrote. He's saying that Eric Michael Dyson has broken the discussion better down than anyone else. Blacks have always been about self-responsibility. This is nothing new in the black community. And the way in which the media attempts to portray it, including this publication, is demeaning to the daily struggles of African Americans who continue to face racism and structural racism. Okay? The problem with Cosby's rant is that it's unlike other respected spokespersons in the black community who speak to the systematic imposition of second-class citizens, okay, on black people as part of their message of self-responsibility. Cosby dumps all the problems on blacks while failing to address the system, which many of us view as cowardly. The statistics don't lie, particularly in the application of justice of denial of opportunity. A white youth charged with a drug crime with no criminal record is 48 times less likely to be incarcerated than a black youth with no criminal record. Secondly, white men with criminal records are more likely to be called back for a job than a black man with no criminal record or a college degree. Racism stands, and he puts that in big, bold letters. Don't take the easy route out like Cosby. Imagine if Martin Luther King had decided to take the easy road. So those are some strong words that he was using there. And it's deep. You know, what are your comments on that, PB?
I want to know what he mean about don't take a role like Cosby. But I mean, I agree with what he's saying.
Okay. Because he's saying that, you know, quit blaming the people, blame the system.
But I disagree with that. I was just going to say that I disagree with the Bill Cosby comment.
All right. That was Malik was saying that Bill Cosby is blaming the blacks, saying that we need to take stuff. Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I disagree with that.
I strongly disagree.
I think, you know what, before we can go out and talk about the system, like I'm saying, since they came up with governments and all that type of stuff back in the day, they came up with the Constitution and all this, we already know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, we already know the rules and regulations. You already know.
Right.
You're not supposed to sell drugs. I mean, then you go out and do it, then you want to complain about the consequences you get. What you got to understand is that you already know you're a black man. You already know the system is kind of... let me look for a word. The system is kind of...
Let's say favor.
You already know that the system don't favor the African American race anyway.
All right.
I mean, basically, when you going out doing that, you already know what you're doing. You making it for yourself and say, like I'm saying, yeah, the system. Don't get me wrong. The system jacked up at the same time too. But see, what I'm saying is, when you already know the system is jacked up, you can't just go with, you got to find ways around the system. And like I'm saying, he's saying, like, Martin Luther King, I don't think Martin Luther King would go out there and tell somebody to sell drugs. I think Martin Luther King would have enough sense to know that if they want me to do this, if they're trying to trap me in this, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go a whole different route and do something else, you know.
Right, exactly. And that's true, you know.
Because I can tell you how the system is really messed up with me being a college. With me being a college graduate, you know, I done walked up to places and walked up to people, and just by my appearance, they look at me like this. Let's be real. Give me a moment, I'm going to be real. I walk up, and then people look at me like, this nigga right here, you know, this nigga ain't going to get shit up. You know, that's how they look at you down here. They really do. When you walk up and you got your ass well, they look at you like you don't know nothing, and like you just done it ever.
Right.
You know, after I submit my resume or show my resume with all this, that I've done this, you know.
And
like I said, how I'm talking to y'all on the radio is nothing like how when I can switch them voices. I know when to get professional. I know when to use proper English, you know. But when they see you from your appearance, when you first walk up, and it's like, this is just another, you know.
Right. And it's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of people are shooting themselves in the foot by dressing a certain way. And granted, I'm not saying take away your independence at all. I don't think you should be judged by your appearance. But the reality of it is 9 times out of 10, you are. First impressions, you know, can never really, it can make or break you. And you only got one time to make a first impression. So... you just
got to
learn how.
Messed up situation. But see, me,
uh-huh.
I never let stuff get me down because I look at it like this. If I go somewhere, if I apply for a job, I walk up there to the job, they don't like me, I don't get the job. You know, I look at it like this. That ain't what God has planned for me. It's not what he has for me. That's just like me with my little graphic design thing. I plan on owning my own business one day.
Yeah,
and I plan on offering internships to high school graduates.
Right.
To be high school graduates to come in and work with the business, learn the overall business without having to go through all that. You got to dress this corporate because me business suits. That's not me.
That's not
my style at all. You know, so I would never take a job where I have to dress in a suit and tie.
Right.
I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you're offering. I'm going to be me. I got to be comfortable. Suit and tie not my style. So I can never do corporate America. Corporate America's not me. I'll leave it to somebody else. Because I'm not going to forget I'm a black man. You know, I grew up in the hood. I'm not hood, but I grew up in the hood, and I'm going to stay true to myself.
Right, exactly.
and I'm keeping my urban clothes.
Okay, hey, that's what's up. And my favorite, I'm telling you, it's funny because of our culture, you know, I've really embraced it, and the good with the bad. But thank God we have so much more that's offered to us now, you know, such as urban music, urban foods, urban clothing lines, you know, hair care products. We just really come a long way, and I support it because at one point we didn't have that, you know, and so, I mean, take it as you will. You can call Sugar Pole Black all day long, but I support my people. I'm a heavy believer in, you know, making sure that you know where you came from, you know about your roots, know about your history, and take that time out to support your culture, because if you don't do it, nobody else will. You know what I mean? Now,
you
know, I'm not...
I can say, since you said that,
all right,
this is something that really pisses me off. When I hear people talking about Barack Obama, especially black people,
they'll
be like, I'm not going to support him because he's black, he's just another, and he's going to get in there, he ain't going to do
terrible?
This. Is what gets me. If
Isn't that
you
terrible?
Just take a minute and look, look at the Mexicans, look at the Asians, look at them. They might not
together.
Like each other, but guess what? They together. When you see a band with one Mexican, I guarantee you with a long arm in the back. Y'all play.
Yeah, you know,
I did have to educate myself because at first, when I first seen Barack Obama, you know, I was just going for Barack Obama because he was black. I ain't gonna lie. But see, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what nobody else say about it. Hey, he's black, I'm black, I'm sticking with my color. But I did bring
him black on black.
I went to his website. I read some of his stuff about the changes he's trying to make. And you know, hey, don't get me wrong, Hillary, I still think that Hillary would have been the better candidate. But I don't care what you say. He's black, I'm black, I'm really black. Black.
Okay, you got my vote.
Black.
Okay. Now, this here's some more information I recently found and been studying as far as racial fairness question, all right? And we've kind of touched on this a bit. It says 4 in 10 young black men were caught in the justice system, okay? Nearly 40% of black men between the ages of 20 and 29 are under control of the criminal justice system, almost 8 times the rate for white males in their 20s, according to a reported issue on the 12th of February, okay? While 39% of black males languished in jail on probation parole in 1995, only 5% of white men the same age and 11% of Latino men were under such state supervision. Now, this is a study that took place at, that was conducted by the Center of Juvenile and Criminal Justice, which is a nonprofit group based in San Francisco, all right? This was reported by the Associated Press at the Los Angeles Times. White politicians, racist, okay, to see who can cut the big government, right, the most spending for prisons and police continue to skyrocket, all right? And the report notes that for the first time, California spent more on its prisons than on higher education, all right? For example, drug charges are biased. Okay, a study shows that blacks were arrested for illegal drugs at 5 times the rate for whites in 1989. Even though whites used illegal substances, okay, at the time about the same rate and were charged under the three strikes rule, you're out law, at 17 times the rate for whites in Los Angeles and 13 times in San Francisco, okay? Black women were being incarcerated and accelerated pace of drug charges. They said 55 black women were in prison on drug-related charges in 1994, but 1,006, all right, were incarcerated by 1994. That's only a 10-year gap.
Right.
You see what I mean? That's crazy. It was also reported that 2/3 of black and Latino males in California have been arrested while between the ages of 18 and 30, and the first-time white offenders are more likely to receive lenient treatment. Okay, now this has all been reported in California. All right? So, I mean, what do you think about that so far, PB?
You know, I mean, I would have to agree with it because I can't speak on California because I'm not from California, but I will say here in Arkansas, they down here what they do use, they use the white people. No offense, I'm not racist, any of our white listeners, but I'm just being real. But they use the white people here, like the, they use those, kind of like, you know how people say the snitches. They use the white people as snitches. They use the white people to go out to be the ones that, like, they try to get the black people to sell the drugs to the white people, and the white people snitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, the white people that got in trouble for selling drugs, they let them back out on the streets. To basically pull in the white people, I mean, to pull in the black people. They pull in the black.
Right.
I would agree with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's true. You know, it's just really sad. One quote I'd like to state, Maxine Waters, many of you know she's a U.S. United States representative, okay?
Yeah.
And Maxine
Waters,
right. Democrat, she's a black lady. She said
that it
warns us that we are risking an entire generation of African-American young men. She pointed out that sending huge numbers of blacks to prison only means they'll return with no skills, no job, no decent quality of life, and when that happens, you have more crime. You have more unrest. So it's really unfortunate, you know. It's really sad, you know, because it just seems as if, you know, we're really getting crunch time now. And, you know, if they're locked up, that is an excellent point. I didn't think of that, you know. It's true. If you are locked up, how are you gaining the skills necessary to be an excellent provider and to have the quality of life that you know you deserve if you're locked up? No, it still ain't working. And the chat box isn't working either. So, listeners, I do apologize.
I'm just chatting in the chat box, so whatever.
Oh,
I
you are? Say, you're in there? Okay.
Y'all feel free to type it here in the chat box.
Because mine is not working. For some reason, I can't pull it up.
He said he's on the line, but
who?
The switchboard not working, so.
Sorry.
We sorry, y'all. Blog Talk is a mad hater. I think it's really me. I don't think it's Sugar. I think it's me. Every time that they say that I'm going to be on a show, the show acts a fool. I don't know what's up.
Oh, no. It's
now,
so
I'm
sad.
Serious with it. When you had your show by yourself Tuesday, you did not have this problem. Now, I'm here. What's happening? See how they're doing me?
You're like, what's going on? I'm trying to think, too. I'm like, gosh, did I don't know.
I'm going to put a race car. It's because I'm black, ain't it? Black.
Well, like I said, you're so crazy. Listeners, I do appreciate you all tuning in tonight, and just type whatever questions you have in the chat box. Hey, at least PB's gotten far enough to see that. I can't even see that much, okay?
Let me shout out to AA Political.
What up?
41, what's this, bro? Bibleist. Of course, me, PB, the graphics designer. Is this Margarita 30, DJ G? All y'all in the house, we thank y'all for listening. Sugar's not in the chat, y'all. Blog Talk hating on us. But we here. I'm going to try to log in real quick and see if we can't get the switchboard working because I know some people said they was on the switchboard. So we got to try.
And I got listeners on. Yeah, they're waiting on the line. And Blog Talk is tripping on us, so.
It's because I'm black, y'all. That's what it is. I'm black.
Hot mess. You know PB a fool with it. Y'all crazy. Oh, wow. We got a few minutes. I'm so upset, too, because we got commercials and things I wanted to play tonight, and PB's been working really hard putting together brand-new commercials for Brown Sugar Radio and so forth.
Like this, I'm black.
You is so crazy.
Hey, Sugar.
What's up?
Now, growing up, did you ever, because you know now, I got to be real about this. This ain't never happened to me, but I heard somebody say this before. I got this black hair, and they was like, man, I wish I was white. Have you ever in your life just wished you was white?
Hell no. I mean, not against nothing. Let me rephrase that. Not saying there's anything wrong with being white, but I'm saying that in the sense that I am so proud to be black. I thank God every day, you feel me, that he made me the woman I am. I'm happy with me. So I'm not saying that in a negative manner. Okay, for all of my white listeners out there, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I am grateful to be a black woman. So I don't want no hate mail.
Okay.
Don't send me no hate mail.
Okay. I got the switchboard working. Look like we got a call from Fox. Now, somebody told me they was just listening. So if I bring you live, you can just say you just listening. And you don't have to say nothing. I'll put you back on mute. 562. You on the air?
Hello?
You on the air?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes, we hear you. You're on the air with Brown Sugar PB. What's up?
Hi, how you doing? This is the Revivalist. I was actually just listening, and I thought it was a really interesting topic, especially out here in Los Angeles. I've noticed that there's a lot of racial profiling, and it's really heated up, you know, over the summer. You know, and it's upsetting. It's very upsetting, but, you know, we have to look at it both ways, you know, the system and some of the individuals that put themselves in that position. I think it's a balance. I think we have to look at both, you know, we have to look at it both ways.
Right.
Because some of the, you know, some people will put themselves in that position, you know, and then, you know, as far as crimes, you know, there's people that will commit crimes because of poverty, you know. And when you look at the system, you know, they are making room. They're making more room for prisoners than they are for education and things like that. So it's kind of like a lose, well, I'm not going to say be negative and say a lose-lose situation, but I just think that we have to look at both, you know, both ends.
Right. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, I do feel you on that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. So, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. PB is going to put you back on mute here so you can continue listening in.
Okay,
to Brown Sugar Radio.
850. 850. 850. Hello.
Hello.
850. No.
Hey, 50, you're on the air with Brown Sugar. What's happening?
Hello. Could y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, yeah, I'm calling in. I'm listening to the topic, too, and I think it's a good one because I actually have a brother that's doing life in prison right now for that drug crime. And it was a lot of people busted with him, but they also did a bust with a whole bunch of white people, and those white people didn't get nearly no time at all, but the black people, they did. So I think we do have a lot of racists in America right now, and I think
right.
they are building a lot of prisons instead of putting money towards education. So,
right.
and I don't know if y'all ever heard of Willie Lynch. I'm pretty sure y'all have, but he, you know, he wrote the rule for slave, how to keep black folks down and slave.
What?
And that rule is still.
No, I ain't heard about that.
Just go Google him in, Willie Lynch, and Google and read it. It will amaze you. Believe me, you will be holding another show. Because we actually did a show here in Pensacola when that happened with my brother. We actually did a show here and at a radio station here. But he wrote the rule on how to keep black folks down. And believe it or not, this man, he wrote this rule in the 1400s or something. Well, it was a long time ago, 1900s
right.
or whatever. But that rule
right.
is still the way that he wrote it and the way that he taught them, taught the white man how to keep us down, how to make us hate each other, how we killing each other.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we are killing each other. And the way this man taught these white people how to keep us down, it is working today in 2000. His rules are still working. And I advise anybody that's listening, go Google in Willie Lynch and learn what this man did, to how he taught the white people to make black folks, to keep black folks in slavery. And jail and prison was one of them. That's why so many of us is in prison today that it is in education and school. So this man wrote this rule. So please, if y'all go read this, it will amaze y'all, and y'all will look at today on how we're killing each other. He taught the light-skinned to hate the dark-skinned. You know, this stuff is amazing. It's amazing to me. And I feel like it's so many young mothers that their mother didn't teach them right, and that's why they cannot teach their kids. And that's why so many kids right now, they turn into drugs and violence and killing each other. I watch 48-hour investigation every Thursday, and there's more of us on there than is any color ever.
And that's amazing. I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, go ahead, people. That's what I'm saying.
Thank y'all so much.
Oh, I didn't know PB was still on. It sounded like he was getting ready to come on. You know what? That dude, no, thank you for sharing that with us, because that has so certainly opened my eyes. I didn't know about this gentleman, but I'm certainly going to do some research him, because I think that it is fascinating to see something that was written in the 1400th century, and now here we are in 2008, and, you know, nothing's really quite changing. As a matter of fact, it seems as if it's getting worse.
Absolutely. And I just, it just saddened me, because my brother was actually killed when I was 16. My 17-year-old brother, he was actually killed by a 14-year-old, and it was supposed to be his friend. But, you know, I don't know if it was accidentally, like he said it was, but nowadays it's not accidentally. They don't care. They're killing their friends, family, anybody, and it's us. So, you know, who do you really blame now? Because it's, now I think we got too many leaders and churches that we should be able to teach these men how
right.
to be a man.
Yeah. You know, or at least if you're not willing to be a father, you know what I mean, and take care of it. Like CB said earlier, he doesn't want children now. He knows that he's not ready. I wish that more men, instead of fathering a child and not being there, you know, that they use wisdom and have protected sex. You know what I mean? I know some men that went as far as they got fixed before they even had any. I mean, to me, that's a little extreme. But if you don't want no kids, dang it, that's one way to take care of it.
Oh, you know? It is.
You know? So, but definitely, I do appreciate you, caller. And, you know, yes, and you're from, you said Pensacola, okay.
Pensacola, Florida, y'all.
All right, have a great day. In the dirty. All right, now the dirty South in the house.
Yes,
all right, well, thanks for calling 850.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
All right, so yes, PB, you got the switchboard up? Oh, go ahead. You got some more questions?
We got another caller.
All right, it's getting hot.
Yeah, how y'all doing tonight? Excellent topic and subject. This is OBM, One Black Man, and I just wanted to drop some. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, we doing good. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to drop some statistical data on you. Actually, this data was given out by Ron Paul in the Republican debates, and I'm just shocked that a lot of black media hasn't picked up on his comments and the positions he has taken, especially on the drug war. And I just want to cite some statistical data. The data that he gave out that I have confirmed from my own research is that 14% of African Americans make up the drug users in this country. We make up 36% of all arrests, and we make up over 63% of all convictions. And, you know, that's just sad. That is just sad. And Ron Paul actually, did you hear this? Let me ask y'all this. Did y'all hear Ron Paul on CNN when he said if he was elected president, he would pardon all nonviolent drug offenders? Did y'all hear that?
I didn't hear that.
Of course you did.
PB, you heard that one?
I'm listening.
That's news to us.
You know, and I just would think that would be big news in the black community,
right.
being that we have so many of our sisters and brothers on lockdown right now under those circumstances. And this man is talking about issuing a pardon. What a pardon will do for you, ask Scooter Libby or ask some of these Iran-Contra people that's been pardoned by presidents, anybody pardoned by Clinton. That makes your record clean. Therefore, you won't have anything on your record to hinder you as far as getting a job and stuff like that. Because those brothers and sisters coming out of prison, they had that strike on their record, and it makes it difficult for them to get jobs.
For real. It really does. Remember in Soul Food when the brother was trying to get a job and he kept getting turned down and, you know, then at the end he snapped. You know, and I like that, even though that is a reality. But in the movie, I'm glad that they showed that, because that's the pressure that we as black people are under. You know, when you have a felony under your belt.
Right. Right.
You know?
And we're just not giving these brothers and sisters. I want to point out, we talk a lot about the brothers on lockdown, but it's a lot of sisters on lockdown, too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you absolutely right.
But I just wanted to share that information, and I thank you for taking my call.
All right, one black man. I appreciate you calling in the Brown Sugar Radio, and certainly continue to come back.
Peace.
All right. BB, any more callers?
No more callers, but you know... I got to comment on that real quick. You know, I think that's a good thing that Ron Paul mentioned, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think some people would approve that.
Ain't no telling.
I think that's one deal that wouldn't, I think that would get laid the rest so quick.
Yeah, that's real. You know?
I don't think that's true that.
Yeah.
It would be good, but go ahead.
No, it just doesn't really unfortunate that, you know, we're even faced with something this extreme, you know. I mean, I don't know if this is, none of us naturally, when we have children or when you're growing up, say, hey, I want to grow up and be a jailbird. You know what I mean? It don't happen like that. It's something that influenced that child's life or something in that environment that happened it. And it's sad because now I was talking about racial profiling, and he mentioned that. Another caller mentioned it as well, how, you know, just because you look a certain way, you know, as far as if you're walking and you got a little sag, do they pull you over? You know, they talking about banning that and making that a law. I don't know if y'all seen it or not, the Yin Yang Twins, we talked about it in their interview, and they were on Dr. Phil. And they were speaking about how the sagging pants are trying to ban it now to where you get fined or thrown in jail for having your pants sagging. Whatever happened to freedom of, you know, speech and your independence and your identity? And granted, there's a fine line now. I'm not saying sag and show your butt hanging all out. Some of it is offensive, you know. But if you want to wear dreadlocks, you shouldn't be judged for that. You know, if you want to...
Wait a minute.
You know, yeah, you should not be judged for that. You know, you shouldn't say, oh, well, he's too black. You know, if you want to wear cornrows or if you want to wear individuals, you should not be judged or knocked for that. You know, that is a part of our ethnic culture, and they judge you for that.
Well, you see, while we are talking about it, what we have to do is, you know, we got to start doing something to help change it.
Right.
You know, so... With me, I see a lot of these people. Well, I don't want to knock nobody, so.
Right, right.
I'm not going to call a neighbor. I'm just going to say we see a lot of these celebrities and stuff. You know, they run, they open new businesses and whatnot. You know, I think they should actually go in. I'm not going to call no celebrity names, but we know that there are a lot of celebrities out here who have their own businesses and whatnot. And sometimes you go in there and you see no African American people in there are running it or working it when you are black. Come on now. Come on. Something is wrong with that.
Yeah.
Help somebody else that's the same color of your skin, you know, that came from the same struggle you come from, and you can't help somebody else. Come on now. That ain't right.
For real. For real. You know?
You need to wake up.
It's sad. It really is, you know. And I believe that we as black people need to come together, stop fighting each other, stop hating on each other. You know, we're all that we got in the end, you know.
Okay, so we got two calls on the line real quick.
All right, let's go ahead and grab them.
Okay, we're going to go to 908.
You.
What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? This is King Kickoff. My name is John Jay, and I'm representing for my squad. I just wanted to touch on your subject briefly. I know your subject matter was too many blacks in jail. Is it that? I'm not sure how much research is actually going on with that particular topic, but, I mean, if you do the math, there's obviously more whites in our country than there are blacks.
Right.
If you do the statistically, there are more of us in jail than there are all,
right.
than are all whites as far as the percentage-wise.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If there's a million whites, the percentage of whites is like 2% versus if there's a million blacks, the percentage of blacks is like, you know, 20%. I'm just giving an
example.
Well,
that's why they're making it look bigger than what it is, because it's
right.
not that many of us to begin with. If we got 20 million white people and only 2 million black, naturally it's going to be more of us in jail.
Exactly. And another, and to touch on another part of the subject that you mentioned as far as our community and our environments and, you know, how we go to jail. And I mean, this has been a process that's been going on for years, undisclosed to us. As far as the process occurring, the government controls most of that. I live in Jersey, so I know I'm an electrical engineer, but I know specifically that they put cameras everywhere, so they see and know everything that's going on. And of course, they're going to arrest the petty drug dealers to get money for the city and the state and so forth and so on. They're not going to get the big dogs.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? That's just bringing in, you know, money. We're some smart people. We as black people are very, very, very intelligent. But most of us are subjected to our environment, so we have to become part of that. It's just been
right.
a process that's been going on for years and years and years. And I don't see an end to it unless another subject that you touched on, what's missing in our community is the lack of fathers. We have a very important day coming up. It's called Father's Day.
Right,
but
right.
For some reason in the black community, we don't acknowledge it as much as Mother's Day.
Right.
Because
it's not as many.
Right. Which I can understand to a point. But like I said before, this is a government process that's been going on for years. They take the black father out of the house, puts pressure on them, so forth and so on. I'm just speaking from experience here. They put the pressure on the black man to do so well and, you know, try to beat, quote unquote, the system. And they got it. Like you said, you gave the example where the guy was, baby boy? Or they were trying to, what movie was it? That they were trying to, he was trying to get the job, and at the end he was like.
Oh, it's Soul Food. It's Soul Food. Yep, he was trying to get a job, and they kept denying him. Then at the end, he snapped.
Right. So, that was his own recognizance. Like, he could not have stopped. That's our problem as black men. Like, we just stop and give up instead of just keep on going, continuing our process and not never giving up.
Right.
And we just
right.
turn to the streets because that's the only option that we know of that well.
Right, because you continue to face adversity, you know, and discrimination in the workforce.
Right.
And at some point, yeah, you feel like, okay, look, I'm doing the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And they continually shooting me down.
And not to put down the black woman because I love y'all so much. I really admire y'all. I can never date a white woman. But
I thought you were going to say, I love the black woman, but I'm with a white girl.
Yeah.
What?
I can never see myself in that situation. But we have this thing called child support, which also discourages the black male, which is also a government implemented system. Not to say that it distracts us, because it is for the entire country. It's the law, quote unquote.
Okay.
But that's just another thing to discourage us, that the black man, the black woman has control over the black man, and it's really not supposed to be that way because they're using the government to get ahead.
Right, right. So you feel like that's the way that they're holding the black man down?
Well, in a sense, I'm not blaming it all on that, but it's just another way to discourage you. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's bad enough that I can't go in a corporate office because I got a tattoo and I got to show
right.
my tattoo off. Meanwhile, I know the same thing that, you know, the next man knows.
Right, right.
So.
Well, I feel... As far as with the child support thing, I can understand how it could be discouraging, you know, if you, like as a man, are struggling financially and then you're forking out a gang of money to pay for however many kids you may have. But one thing I say is that, like I mentioned earlier, you know, if you're in a position like my co-host tonight, TB, he knows he doesn't want kids, so he's taking the necessary precautions to do that. Although life ain't that simple sometimes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Things happen, and you just have to face your responsibility.
Right.
But you know, try to, you know, if you know you ain't in a position where you can afford kids or whatever, then, you know, have protected sex. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm sharing with my listeners. You know, make sure that, okay, if you know you in this long-term relationship with this young lady, you know what I'm saying? You need to make sure that, hey, you know, girl, look, is you taking them pills every day or what we need to do? You know what I mean? Because then I understand how some brothers feel like, oh, well, she trapped me up. I didn't know. You know, she said she was taking the pills and I didn't know. But it's our responsibility. It works both ways. You know what I mean? To make sure you don't have kids. I don't know. I don't think it's the kids' fault. I understand why you could be frustrated in that aspect. But I do believe that if you can't be there as far as your time, then certainly the money you contribute to your children, that helps prevent the poverty level that I was speaking about earlier in my show, how I feel like us as the black community, we do experience poverty more than probably any other race. I'm not saying that they don't have it out there, but we struggle, you know. And so a lot of it may be to not having two-income homes or your environment or whatever, but you just make the most out of it and learn, you know.
I was put in a situation that, you know, I had to just handle my responsibilities. I mean, I am single. But I've learned from my mistakes, just like you just mentioned. Like, I've made them, and now I don't want to make any more, obviously. So I have to do what I have to do. I don't want to take too much of the time here, so I'm listening a little bit. I just want to say also, check out my show. My show is blogtalkradio.com/teamtakeoff. This week's subject on Wednesday night, I do every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This week's subject is called the menstrual cycle. Why are women so complicated? It's basically referring to the black woman. But it should be a good show. And if you get
All right. Certainly. We'll check you out.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate
it. All right. Thank you.
Okay. We have another call from the 580. 580?
Yes. How you doing?
What's going on?
I'm always good. Always good.
Who's over there?
This Noel, this black sister.
Oh, the first Noel. What's
no, that? I'm the second. My father is the first. He's still alive. Yeah, got to give him his props.
Okay.
You hit on a subject, and I was sitting up here listening, right? And we were talking about dreadlocks and different things, right?
Okay.
I remember when I came up here in 1972 from the Caribbean. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When white folks didn't say nothing to me about dreadlocks. But you know who sit up here and chastise me and down me? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my own people that didn't know the culture and didn't know the history. Because I came up here and went to Detroit. Right?
Uh-huh.
I went to school. Uh-huh. And the biggest thing is, where you get that from? You know,
uh-huh.
Do your people walk around with no shoes and all that other stuff from my own people? You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, we sit up here blaming. You know, and I'm tired of blame. And like, most of the people who sit up here in the chat room knows me. And they know I'm a single father. My wife passed away 13 years ago. I'm raising three kids, since they were 3, 5, and 9. They include a daughter, you know. And, I face trials and tribulations. I come up, you know, but just not by whites, just by blacks, by everybody else. But I refuse. And my thing is sometimes I know there's prejudice. I know there's different things that goes on. But we are sitting up in here. And we are blaming and not teaching the younger individual how to sit up here and go for success, right? My thing is, you know what the university are doing right now with us is going to the Caribbean and going to Nepal and going to these poor countries and bringing individuals to educate them. And when they do it, they go on to get PhD and be doctors in the hospitals and so on and so forth here. I'm sitting up here right now. The university have over 200 Caribbean students. Right, in their university. And I'm telling you, a whole bunch of them is going on to master's. Some even already, had the doctorate and teaching at major universities. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do in this country is stop. You know, yes, we know it's been slavery. We know it's been racism. We face that in the Caribbean also. You understand?
Okay.
But we have to sit up here and say, you know what, enough is enough. You know, for me personally, when I sit up here and I look at my kids, my son is a chemical engineer, senior at Oklahoma State University. My other son, I just enrolled him at a major university to play football, an honor student. I have my daughter, 16, is an honor student. So, you know, my thing is, right, we have to stop and we have to go out there and make a difference, right? I don't want to sit up here. You know, I can't be responsible for the next man. right? I have to be responsible for me and my family, and then go out there and every Saturday go to those young brothers and sisters that are sitting on the street and don't have nothing, from the single mom and so on and so forth, and go into their home and bring one or two or take one or two. Say, look, you know, it's a different life. I sit up here, mothers and fathers sitting up in here seeing the kids sag at games, disrespecting black women, right, with their pants down to their ankles, right?
Right.
And we're going to tell them about freedom of something. There's no freedom
of
nothing when you disrespect my people.
Right.
And, right, sitting up in here. And then we got individual 25, 26, 30, and 40 years old sagging too. Right,
mm-hmm.
We have no disrespect
for
our people. That's the problem right there.
Yeah, and because, like I said, there's some things that just cross the line that can be looked upon as offensive. You know, and anytime you know you're doing something that is offensive to others, you know, you really need to look in the mirror. You know, but I think the problem is they don't look at that as offensive.
True,
you're
right. And I see
it
every day.
That's cool or hip, but that's the thing to do.
And it's like we're afraid of them, you know.
You know, walking around with your behind hanging out, to me that's just not the thing.
I refuse.
No, that's not it.
You know, like my son, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows. I refuse to let my son come into this house or walk out this house and go to school, right,
mm-hmm.
with his pants down to his butt, first and foremost.
Right.
You know,
first
of all, you represent me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You represent me. As long as you're in my house, you represent me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about time we go back and said, hey, it's about respect. You respect me. You respect this household, right? But then when you grow, like my oldest son, yes, he got an earring in his ear. But when he walks through this door, trust me, it's not in his ear.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and he's 22 years old. And he getting ready to graduate, at, you know, and do what he has to do. But the biggest problem is he respects this household. And he respects his father.
Right. And that's what's up, you know. That's the most important thing, is teaching the children to, you know there's a time and a place for everything. And as my co-host, he, you know, spoke upon earlier, that there's a time and a place for everything. You need to know when you need to step it up and you need to be professional. Or there's times, you know, when you're with friends or family, you know what I mean? And that's when you can be a little bit more lax and more comfortable. But you can't, because of the society that we're in and because we're judged so heavily, you know, you have to really be cautious and know, you know what I'm saying, when to use what. There's certain things I don't say in public, you know what I mean? There's certain, a way I carry myself.
But you know what is happening now? And I tell them, you know, sometimes, you know, we say we're giving up, but we are not giving up. We have to learn how to use the system to our advantage. I was just talking to a friend of mine in Florida. Right, a West Indian individual, okay, already got his PhD, went to school, right, with dreadlocks all his life, but guess what happened now, right? He went for a tough job right in the hospital, okay, and he figure, guess what, for me to get in and bring other people in, I'm going to have to cut my dreadlocks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what he did? He sacrificed and cut his dreadlocks. Guess what? He got the job. Now we can sit up here and bring other people and bring some of our people inside the system. And we are not doing that. We are not willing to sacrifice for our own people to make them, you know. And we are not. We're thinking about self. We are so materialistic. It's just self.
Right. Uh-huh. And it's important. You can't. You got to make sure, especially when you have children, that you put your kids first. So, but I appreciate you calling in.
Not a problem.
Well. And speaking your opinion tonight, and definitely call back in for our up-and-coming shows that we have, because we do appreciate your opinion and your thoughts.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay, Noel, have a good one.
All right, peace.
All right. All right, PB, do we have any more callers on the line?
We got a call from the 347 area.
All right.
347? 347?
Oh, yeah.
Three, four, seven.
Hi.
Yes. You're on the air with Brown Sugar on TV. What's happening?
Hello?
TB.
Okay, well, I don't know what's good with 347, but we move right along.
So y'all lucky that PV got the switchboard, because if Sugar had it and y'all calling playing on my phone, I'm going to put you on blast. Y'all going to learn real quick that Sugar don't play that. That ain't homie don't play that. You still got it on the switchboard, PV?
Typical African-American.
Quit playing on my phone. Well, I do have a little bit of celebrity gossip if we don't have any more callers. For the end of the night. This has been a long, drawn-out show, but it's been excellent. I love the feedback we're getting, and the callers have been excellent. I'm sure we have more listeners in the chat room. What's up to everybody? Because I can't see you, PB's my eyes tonight, since the switchboard on my end is cutting up.
Claudia, One Black Man, Team Takeoff, Michelle Hughes, The Revivalist, Margarita, and I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
All right. That we can see. You know what I've realized? A lot of people are coming in through the homepage when they see, because we're featured. We're one of the top shows on Blog Talk. And so we're featured regularly. And they'll click on the front homepage. However, if you're not signed in on Blog Talk, you have to be signed in order for us to see you and shout you out. Or you have to go through the chat box in order for us to see you. And I'm noticing when I'm shouting out people in the chat box, it's a lot more listeners than what's in the chat box when I go back to review the numbers for live listeners. So it's cool. I appreciate each and every one of you. Real quick, wanted to share a little bit about Wendy Williams. It's so funny. You know, I tell you, you throw a bone, you get a bone. Wendy Williams' husband, Kevin Hunter, who is her manager as well, is accused of hiring a hitman to kill her rival radio personality, Miss Jones. Okay? For talking, for talking mess about his wife on the air, he's trying to take her out. But I think that's just something to take the heat off of him in this $5 million sexual harassment lawsuit that's coming from Nicole Spence. Nicole Spence formerly worked with Wendy Williams on her show, The Wendy Williams Experience. Rumor has it she was an intern. I don't know if that's true or not, if she was working as an intern or if she was working, as a regular employee. However, she claims that Kevin Hunter, Wendy Williams' husband, physically and verbally abused his wife at the office, making it a hostile and very fragile working atmosphere. Both Wendy Williams and her husband, Kevin Hunter, have denied the accusations. And so we will certainly just keep our eyes open. But it's so funny because when you throw dirt, you get dirt. And if ain't nobody but the gossip queen herself, Wendy Williams, always jabbing people, now it's funny that her life is in the limelight. So we're going to definitely keep our eyes watched on this because I think this is juicy. Wouldn't that be neat? Should we get Wendy Williams on the show? You think she'd show up?
Probably not.
All this drama going on.
You know, I think Wendy is too big, so I don't think she will come. But I would love for her to come because, you know, I don't know if y'all know now, but she's a recovering crack addict. You know,
really?
She used to do drugs and whatnot. Yes, yeah, she used to do drugs.
Okay.
I would like for her to come out here. It would be a very inspirational show for all the people that have used
crack.
And, you know, Wendy
it's
could
whack.
Come on and then I could just bash her. You know, I would love
I don't know. Everybody keeps saying that she looked like a man. That's the rumor I keep hearing. That she, you know, was a man previously in her life. But I don't know.
She was a woman with a lot of surgery. I mean,
yeah, she did admit to having a tummy tuck and breast augmentation. You know, and after having kids and stuff, you know, kind of goes south. So hey,
okay,
I ain't mad at her. Okay.
646 area.
All right, now we playing on my phone, y'all.
646.
How you doing?
Y'all better quick pivot. Y'all know you better talking about the Wendy Williams experience.
How you doing? This is Wendy.
What's going on?
How you doing, girl?
Wouldn't you like to would you like to hear Wendy Williams on Brown Sugar Radio?
This is Wendy.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, my goodness, y'all.
How you doing? This is Wendy Williams. Okay, you talking about, my husband.
Oh, Lord.
And listen, you guy. I was a former crackhead, but I'm not a crackhead no more. How you doing? How you doing? Y'all tuned into my show coming on July 14th. How you doing?
Okay, so Wendy, since we got you here, how do you actually feel about, what do you have to say to the people that are saying that you are like a transsexual or something like that? What do you have to say about that?
All I know is that my parents made a female, but if you want to believe that I am a man or a drag queen, then so be it. All I got to say is, how you doing?
Hot mess. Y'all so crazy. Too much. Gotta keep
well, Sugar.
Yeah.
I heard you was a drag queen, too.
Oh, girl, you ain't know? I better quit playing like that, for they have all these rumors up here on Blog Talk, huh? Ooh, Lord, hey. Yeah, I can't say that. I'm just teasing on my listeners. Because this is radio and you don't actually get to see us, I can't play like that because radio is too impressionable. But I tell you what, a drag queen can't have three babies, all right? Oh, wow. Keeping it moving. Now, the tomato scare. Lord, have mercy. We done went from gas being almost $5 a gallon to dying over eating a daggone tomato.
Wait a minute real quick. I got to say this. Katrina Takeoff said it sounded like Wendy Williams was talking to a John Jella.
It said, what? Hold on. Back up. I missed it.
They said it sounded like she was talking to a jar of jelly.
Crazy. Y'all so silly. I came in the chat room to trick with y'all tonight. I got to get ready to go. I can't extend the show anymore because I got to get my kids some pizza. I promised them I was ordering a pizza tonight, so I got about 6 minutes left. I got to get through the last little bit of news for Brown Sugar Radio. Now, the tomato scare, I'm telling you, just as soon as you thought things were getting better, now we have salmonella being reported in 6 states in the United States. Oh, my Lord. Florida, Georgia, Missouri, New York, Tennessee, and Vermont reported illnesses related to the outbreak, bringing the number of affected states to 23, okay? Now, the Food and Drug Administration has not pinpointed the source of the outbreak. However, with this illness striking on June 1st, officials also are not sure if it was all the tainted tomatoes that are on the market now, but they're demanding all of the stores and restaurants to take them out. I went to get a Subway sandwich the other day, and I'm telling you, my sandwich was not right without my tomatoes. I kept biting into it. I was like, God, I need something that's missing. They got to get these tomatoes right, okay, because I like them in my salads and my tacos. It's not right. However, as long as we are continuing to see new cases that are coming on board, it's a concern that there's still contaminated tomatoes out there. So wash your tomatoes, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but when I get my food, when I get grapes, when I get lettuce, cabbage, collard greens, all that, all my fresh fruits and vegetables, I wash them. You can call me crazy if you want to, but I do. I put them in the sink, and I add a little soap in there. I wash them, okay? And I've always been like that. I mean, I've even canned goods. I rinse those off real good on the top because remember they had that little rat poisoning thing going on with canned goods. So I rinse it off, you know. It's just really important. But then that makes me wonder, was the salmonella on the surface of the tomato or was it deep down inside the tomato? But this is, if y'all thought the tomato was the hype of the night, this one here is really going to take the cake. And I was reading earlier that it was reported that a restaurant, now the name of the restaurant I'm still researching on it, I haven't found it, okay? Lemon slices, okay? It was reported that fecal matter And if, for those of y'all who don't know that high-tech terminology, boo-boo. Boo-boo pieces were found on slices of lemons. And if you don't know it, Google it. Look up fecal matter lemon slices. Look it up. I mean, what is this world coming to? For real, what is this world coming to? It's too sad already. And now we're going through this with dirty German lemons exposed. I just truly don't know what else to think. You know, if we can't afford to put the gas in our cars now, we're going to be riding bikes to work. Now we can't eat fruits and vegetables that they're telling us that's healthy for us. I mean, good grief. So I just truly don't know what else to think. But also, too, now for this week, we have some great, we got 3 minutes remaining on the show, so I got to hurry, but we do have some exciting show topics. We're going to try it again with Coach Dion in the house. No, not Coach Dion, my bad. The hair coach, Deshaun Bullard, in the house. I see Coach, I'm thinking Coach Dion. Anyway, shout out to Coach Dion. That's my girl, fitness expert. She's doing a thing from coast to coast. And definitely, though, Deshaun Bullard is amazing. You will truly enjoy her next Tuesday. You want to keep it locked. She will be in the house. She is the CEO and founder of NourishTrust Vitamins, which is an excellent vitamin for your hair, helps it to grow long and pretty, not just for women. So, men, if you want to grow you some hair, invest in this vitamin. She's also a celebrity stylist. She works with T-Box, many of you know, from TLC, and has helped her hair during some times of difficulty. She's restored it back to its lustrous, silky, you know, beautiful look. But it's great. You definitely want to make sure you keep it locked because, like I said, she's been featured in Sophisticated Black Hair, as well as Hype Hair magazine. And so any questions you may have about your hair, definitely write it down. You can email me if your phone's shy, don't want to be on the air. Certainly email it to brownsugarradio@yahoo.com, and I will make sure that I answer that. Or you can hit us up in the chat room while we're live, okay? But that's a show you definitely don't want to miss. And then also on Thursday, we have Licious returning. Licious is doing her own thing now with a website. She's got a lot of new products and exciting things coming up. She's also the manager of Solomon Wise, okay, who was on VH1's hit reality show, I Love New York, too. But she's here to do her own thing. That's going to be on June 19th, all right? PB, I don't know how much time I have left, how many more seconds remaining. Where am I at for the air?
16 seconds. Bye, y'all.
All right, y'all, that's a wrap. We're going to call it tonight, and we'll see you next week. Holla.